The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
There's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public. Yeah, the public sucks. There's a nice campaign slogan for somebody. The public sucks.
Beep.
Hope.
Beep.
Hope. Because if it's really just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the other bright people of conscience? Where are all the bright, honest, intelligent Americans ready to step in and save the nation and lead the way? We don't have people like that in this country. Everybody's at the mall, scratching his ass, picking his nose, taking his credit card out of his fanny pack and buying a pair of sneakers with lights in them. So I have solved this little political dilemma for myself in a very simple way. On election day, I stay home. I don't vote.
Beep. Beep.
I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago.
Beep.
They shuffle around every 4 years. Doesn't mean
Beep.
A thing. And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, in fact, did not even leave the house on election day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson. I guess Pat's on the line.
I'm Pat Edwards. I'm here.
Our show covers major issues impacting the nation, region, and local municipalities and communities from a candid and bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our calling number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You could also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Today's opening statement: for a better future that encompasses the success and stability of society as a whole, we must work on ourselves, emotional intelligence, empathy, and a diverse perspective. Understanding the understanding of basic human needs and human rights and making it accessible for all, not the few. We can disagree and not be disagreeable, incorrigible, or disrespectful. Success has many parents and failure has none. No permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests. Our topic today is COVID-19. Can we all just get along? Republican or demolish crat, another shutdown. Very interesting. We just avoided a shutdown overnight.
It's one narrowly.
Well, I mean, even when you have Mitch McConnell that didn't want to see a shutdown, that was interesting. And when you had the House push it through. But at the end of the day, it's only a Band-Aid until February 18th, 2022, and we'll be back at it again.
Which is literally in, what, less than 90 days?
Less than 90 days, and we will be into the midterm cycle, or people will be circulating petitions. So that's something to say,
I think I messed up the script a little bit. Let's get to the definitions real quick, because I think these definitions are extremely relevant to, you know, what we're dealing with. I think it was a shutdown, impasse, understanding, and cognitive dissonance.
Right.
Which is cognitive dissonance being the main one for me. And an impasse, too.
Yeah, well, cognitive dissonance is a psychological conflict resulting from the incongruous beliefs and attitudes held simultaneously. Economists who says racism costs the U.S. $16 trillion, explains the math. $16 trillion, racism. Well, they actually have been studies out that have showed how much the economy loses to racism and the study.
In the last 30 years, it was $16 trillion. That is just straight up cognitive dissonance. And what the connection, folks, there was something we mentioned a few shows ago, maybe like a month and a half ago, about people dismissing the facts. Just completely dismissing the facts.
But the facts don't get dismissed. The facts get lost in the smoke screens of the other cackalacky BS that goes along that people, media, per se, glorifies. You know, the real stories are not there. You know, you and I had this conversation, and other folks are having these conversations now, and it's the understanding. If you don't understand why this affects you, then we have a problem. And it has been purposely done. You know, anybody that wants to challenge me and say it hasn't, come and call in. Because it's a purpose. You know, we have city councils, we have state representatives, state senates, you have the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Congress, that will pass cackalacky BS bills. But things of substance, things that would make a difference, don't get through. Remember, 2%, only 2%. Of a bill makes it to law. And but that's after how many attempts? That's the million-dollar question, people.
Yeah, or even when you know you present it to committee and they don't even make it, it dies. Sometimes it might die. Somebody don't like you. It might die before it even gets to the committee.
And that goes to what you
talk about.
That goes to what the, you know, I agree to disagree what he said about not voting, but he's absolutely right. As we continue to vote these folks in that are controlled, have an allegiance to party, when you are the one voting them, just today, let me say this. We got a bunch of folks here in Pennsylvania that are going to go to New York and do a whole lot of glad handling, a whole lot of shucking and jiving, a whole lot of trying to make deals, trying to make their way to their next position in the at the PA Society, Pennsylvania Society, which started over, and it's in New York because Philadelphia, well, the West, if anyone knows Pennsylvania, there is a stigma. There is a problem between the western part of the state and the eastern part of the state. And then you have those in the middle. So New York became the focal point where everybody could get to, and it wouldn't be one side against the other side of the state. Basically, that's what it really is. But at the end of the day, it's a bunch of glad handling. It's who's going to cut a deal, a lot of photo opping, and quietness. So these are the things that happen that people know nothing about. And it has nothing to do with the everyday person.
Yeah. We actually, I was sitting in a meeting yesterday, to Randall's point, where it was, for some reason, for life, I can't remember what committee it was. Basically, it was about, like, maybe 80 people, 90 people on that call. And, you know, a lot of it was just, like, there's no nice way to say it, but people basically kind of, you know, being really nice to the governor. And again, he tried. I mean, he definitely shot down that gun bill. Like, that was like, but we kind of knew that was going to happen, you know. I mean, that's something that he should have did anyway. I don't really believe in giving people praise for something they're supposed to do. Unless it's something, unless they're consistent, right? Because you got some, now you do have some elected officials, they don't get a lot of praise or even acknowledgement, but you do have some that consistently vote in the interest, right? Vote in the interest of their constituents. Or if they can't vote in the interest of their constituents, they're not going to vote for anything that would hurt their constituents. And that's a hard place to be, you know, particularly when certain things are involved or, you know, one party controls certain things. Like, for example, you know, right now Democrats have the House and the Senate, barely, in the U.S., on the U.S. level. Now, on the Pennsylvania level, not so much, right? Last I checked, I think only 21 state senators are Democrats, and it was like 100 and – it's actually a lot closer than it was before, but I think it's about somewhere over 110. It's pretty close. There's 203 state House representatives in Pennsylvania, but I believe somewhere around 55% or so, closer to 60%, are Republican. And they have a very skewed – way of looking at things because people don't spend enough time visiting up the other 66 counties, right, to kind of understand why people think the way they think.
Well, you know, and to that point, you made a very good point because, you know, I was speaking with someone just recently that wants to be lieutenant governor for the state of Pennsylvania, and their primary focus is the east side of the state, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delaware County, Philadelphia County, Lebanon County, Lancaster County, Berks County, because, and I'm going to say it, look, because they're Latino, so they're focusing on that those that have a predominantly Latino population, or but that does not mean that the Latino population is going to vote, or that they all are registered voters, and they're all going to vote for you. So to your point, if you do not go to all 67 counties in the state of Pennsylvania, and this should be all across the board, all across the country, no matter how many counties you have, if you're trying to represent people, then you should know what's going on in the areas where they are. No, some of them may not like you, but they would appreciate you more if you came into the house, whether invited or uninvited.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we do here. We have a history, even prior to me and Randall being on the show, we both have a history of away games. And what does that mean? We love away games. You know, to be able to go into somebody else's territory with the facts, right? Not my feelings, right? Not what I believe, what the facts are, right? And understanding the issues, particularly, you know, serving in the community and being hands-on, you know, often you get a firsthand account. And, you know, y'all know I work for the state on several occasions, and I work part-time for the state now. And I get a firsthand account. Like, in that meeting, they were talking about how taxes in the suburbs in certain places are way too high. You know, some people got uncomfortable, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, that's why, the Philadelphia School Board is a joke. Because if you can't levy taxes...
Philadelphia School Board, let's talk about Upper Darby. I'm sorry.
You're not a real school district. Yeah, and Upper Darby is even worse, because the blacker Upper Darby School District has become... All of a sudden, they can't find no money. But William Penn District don't got that problem. Whoa. And it's right next door. Yeah, I said it.
Pat, that is actually what really goes down. You know, you and I both talk about this time and time and time again. If we, and just to stop you there, I just want to say this before I forget. Actually, how often have we talked about an open primary?
All the time, because I'm independent. So, you know, I'm
well,
offended because it doesn't make any sense.
Someone in the state house is now making noise about and pushing for open primary.
I see. I said, I can't see me have my doctor. We'll pinky up.
But, you know, we know where that's going to go, but at least somebody, you know, they're not saying the name yet, but it is out there.
Well, it can gain some ground. You know why? Because people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? And people and poor, busted, and disgusted. So there's not an immediate opportunity. It might get shot down once or twice, but I think that person, if they're smart enough and they understand the power of relationships, they may be able to coerce their colleagues into working that into some legislation sooner than later.
You know, and you're absolutely right, especially with all of the convictions. Yeah, I said it, convictions. All of the glad handling and soon to be convictions. It's about time that folks have an opportunity to make a real choice and not a bought candidate. Yeah. And not a bought candidate.
Real though.
And it's real. You know, I can sit here and, like I said, 2022, I'm naming names. You better get your houses in order. Because it's going to get real uncomfortable.
It wasn't uncomfortable already?
Oh, no. It's going to get, because, you know, I'm going to talk to, we're going to bring in, hopefully, Attorney General Josh Shapiro, so that we can find out where some of these cases of convicted felons are really lying at. We're going to talk about his relationship with Philadelphia DAs and the corruption that goes on in the DA office. We're going to talk about how if you make a donation to a purse, things get lost. These are all facts, not fiction.
Oh, my. Well, with that said, we got to go to our first break, folks. Randall's the one that's on fire today. You are now listening to Tone and Tenor, talk radio show on 860 AM. Our topic today is, can we all just get along? Are you a repo Republican or a demolished crack?
Take your heart, don't let me break it in two. I'm sure that I could possibly do nothing for you. I'm nearly on the edge, I'm about to jump in the view. I'm really not afraid of nothing. On everything, I gave everything and got nothing back. Ain't looking for it, no pat on backs. That ain't how we got, where the f*** we at? Mama called, where the f*** you at? On the road and ain't coming back. Into my 100 stacks, make 100 racks. And that 100 racks bring a bundle back. I was blowing gas like the honey badger. J.I.D., the money snatcher. Say la vie, I'm coming after everybody. Don't get the bloody splatter. I'm flying, I got my fly too. It is like buddy passes. I wanna cry cause I'm numb inside. If you wonder why, ask what's the matter. Yeah, cause I've been working hella hard. It ain't really working out. I've been praying to the Lord. It ain't really working out. I've been looking to the stars. See my head up in the clouds. It ain't really working out. It ain't really working out. It ain't really working out.
Don't explain what is there.
I'm gonna, we're back on here on Tone and Tenor on WWDB Talk 860 AM. You know, Pat came up with this very interesting topic today, and I'd like to for him to explain to our listeners what he means by the topic that he chose, and shed some light on, you know, why he chose the topic and what it means.
Yeah, this is probably a part one, to be honest with y'all. But a repo Republican or the, I guess, demolition crat instead. I'm sorry. So, yeah, a demolition crat is, you know, often, you know, people repo stuff, right? And it's not a shot at, directly at a Republican or a Democrat. If you take it personal, I mean, that's on you. But I'll give folks an example, right? So even with the law that was passed by our previous president, Donald Trump, right? Like it or not, Donald Trump does have more legislation on the books that's helped black people than some of the previous presidents. Don't get mad at me. Look it up.
Don't get mad at him, because some of it that was passed by Donald Trump is now being removed.
Go ahead and say it again.
Removed by the present president.
By the current president, right?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
You know, okay. You know. You know, we could step in line, and you know my favorite thing is doing the Texas two-step, but you got to understand the facts. You got all these politicians running around here that are Dems or Republicans, but you better look at the laws that have been passed, the money that has been allocated, and look at who's doing what. We would not be in the predicament we are in now with everything going overseas and stuff stuck on the water if it wasn't for NAFTA, which was passed by or was pushed by, then? Anybody know? Mr. Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Clinton.
That really was. I completely forgot.
It's really when we think about this thing, and unfortunately, then the reality of this is, Pat, is that people that don't look like us can put these facts out there, can say all of this.
Oh, with no blowback.
With no blowback. But as soon as anybody of color says it, we got a problem. Unless we are glad handling. I'm not a glad handler. I don't think Pat is either. But
unless I check. I mean, if I was a glad handler, I'd be a lot, my career, my political career would be a lot further. But, you know, I do what I can with what I have.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, but when we say this, we do not say anything on this show that is not fact. You know, that's the reality. You know, that's the reality. You know, we're in the holiday season, and if you really think that your elected officials have...
Wait, the holiday or holiday season? Because last I checked, the holiday puts holes in your pocket, right? Because you're running out spending all this money. And people don't need to understand, if you understand astrology and the solstice, you know, you would handle things a lot differently. Mm-hmm. Particularly around finances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's really, really interesting because, again, during this time, we're going to see a lot of galas, a lot of parties. We're going to see people being honored, quote unquote, for allegedly, and I'm going to say allegedly, doing their job or not doing their job, whichever way you want to take it. Why? Because at the end of the day, the people that are honoring these grassroots organizations or so-called grassroots organizations are looking to have their palm greased. Check it out, people. Go out there and look it up. Go look it up. And it's not just here in Philadelphia. You know, it's all across the nation. I've been in the rooms. I've seen the deals. I've seen the things that go on. It's called politics. I understand that. But if you don't have the best interests of the person or persons that have elected you, then we've got a problem.
Yeah, I mean, because we know what it is. If you're in Congress, I mean, if you leave Congress and you're not a millionaire, you're a fool. You know what I'm saying? I get that. But, I mean, in the meantime, in between time while you're there, you know, it ain't gonna kill you to do the right thing every now and then, particularly because you're getting paid to do it.
Yeah, think about this.
I'm getting paid.
We live in what I guess we're now the fourth largest city in the country.
No, I think we're behind Arizona now.
Behind
Arizona,
Phoenix?
I think Phoenix has made a little jump. And a lot of black people have moved to Phoenix. I mean, I was a little shocked. We'll actually do a show on that. It'll be like, I guess, the shift in cities, and we'll go with like either the poorest or the most racist cities or something like that. We're gonna play a little game. This is a show for another time.
You're absolutely right. We are number six now. We're in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, then Philadelphia. And we're just ahead of San Antonio. Just ahead.
That don't sound progressive to me.
I mean, we're going that's going backwards instead of forward.
Yeah, and a lot of progressive stuff is anti-business, y'all. So I want y'all to understand that. Anti-small business, right? 65-70% of small business does what? Funds this country.
And that comes out of the mouths of both parties.
Yes. They don't understand. They don't get that.
By all the presidents that have been elected have said this. Governors of the states have said this. Mayors of cities and boroughs have said this. But at the end of the day, the red tape for the folks that fund everything in this country on a larger scale than those large corporations have to jump through hoops, have to beg, borrow, and steal, have to kiss the ring, and they may get a couple dollars. They may get a couple of dollars. They may get some help.
Depending on how they feel that day, yes.
And anyone. Now, we recently, I know you're on your way to New York, and I guarantee if you ride down the street, just like we did in Atlanta, just like we did in other cities in the South, like we do in Philadelphia, you will see numerous small business with their doors closed and locked.
Yep, and a bunch of homeless people.
So where have we made, how have we progressed?
Again, like I said, progressive doesn't mean black. Progressive doesn't mean small business. And progressive doesn't always make sense.
Well, we have a lot of folks.
Maybe not progressive, but aggressive in this context.
Well, we have a lot of folks that run around. We've did this. We've said this numerous times. Progressivism is a political philosophy in support of social reform. In the 21st century, a movement that identifies as progressive is a social or political movement that aims to represent the interests of ordinary people. Listen to this now. The interests of ordinary people through political change and the support of governmental action. Well, if we take that definition and we go two presidents back with President Barack Obama, when he ran on the change and hope.
The hope for change.
Sometimes hope is
more crippling than anything.
All right. And then we go to President Donald Trump. Look, some may think I'm supporting him, but if you look at what he did for people of color, and don't listen to those folks that are sitting up there that look like you in political office that are downplaying Donald Trump.
No,
or the Betsy DeVoses of the world, Kenyatta Johnson, and those folks that are taking this money from the Koch brothers, from Betsy DeVos, and they want to tell you that they're straight Democrats. Let's not play that game. Let's not play it. You know, you can be about a party, but understand what the party is. Black folks, understand the history of the Republican Party and the way you were able to vote. You still have folks in the South that still believe that are Republicans that are black. You have plenty of black Republicans in the North, but if they say they're Republican, they get ostracized.
Yeah, but when they're referring to Republican folks, they're referring to the party of Lincoln, and Lincoln wasn't that great. But we don't have enough time. Like, I could go to hours.
Absolutely.
But you know, Eddie was a punk. But that's a conversation for another time. But I look, stop me when I'm lying. I'll wait.
But all of this, let's really think about this stuff, Pat. You know, we just avoided another shutdown.
Yeah, I put it in the notes.
Go ahead.
Shutdown plus the budget impact of 2014 that eradicated my educational business, and nobody wants to talk about it, but we are today.
Yeah, so if you think about this, we had I mean, in the past, the press president, February 9th, one day, shut down. And that was 2018. 2018, from January 20th to January 23rd, 3 days. In 2018 to 2019, December 22nd, 18 to January 25th, 19, 34 days. Barack Obama, year 2013, 16 days. Bill Clinton, 21 days in 1995 through 96, 5 days in 1990. 1990 with George H.W. Bush, October 5th through the 9th, 3 days. Ronnie Reagan, December 18th to December 20th, 1 day, Republican. 1 day in 86. 1 day in October, from October 16th to 18th. And you go on and on and on and on. So we can't say that these shutdowns are just Democrat or Republican.
Republican or demolition crap.
You know, so what does that mean? You know, what does it mean if we, you know, here's the problem that, you know, in your everyday life, people, you can't walk into the bank and say, I'm extending my credit, or I'm extending how I'm going to pay my bills until 3 months down the line. The U.S. government is basically saying, we're extending this. This is what they're saying. With money that they're pulling out of, I was going to say something, pulling out the air that's not there. That's, you're pulling out the air that's not there. Till February 18th.
Yeah, they're playing with your life. They're playing with people's livelihoods, right? And it was very similar to what happened. There's also something in there, Randall, where it talks about in 2014, 2015, that budget impasse.
Absolutely. Let me read this. Let me read this.
Okay.
Budget impasse of 2014. According to a report, 176 nonprofits participated in this survey. 3,194 nonprofits received contracts from the state. The most heartening takeaway, small business partners came to save the day for a number of these nonprofit partners.
Say that small business part again.
Small business partners came to save the day for a number of these nonprofits that participated in this survey. According to the report, 135 organizations borrowed a total of $171.9 million to continue operations. But constituents still took a hit. 17,100 clients served by 22 of the nonprofits received either reduced quality of service or no services at all. Or they stole services. Or stole money. Some of them even gone to jail.
But
they're still out here making mockery of the judicial system.
But it's not even that. Here's the other part. Like, didn't they bail out Wall Street? Why did those nonprofits get bailed out? I didn't see anything in Build Back Better for them. I'll wait.
Well, you know, that's an iffy situation, though, Pat, and because some of these nonprofits need to have, in the states, well, in the state of Pennsylvania, if you donated to a nonprofit, you can request to have to see their books. Some folks have gone to jail because they didn't have books. And I'm not throwing shade. I'm telling you facts. And they're still doing the same thing.
Got real dark in here.
But this, to continue, and nonprofits will continue to pay for it. 45 organizations collectively owe debtors $532,000 in interest. 50% of cash reserve, nonprofits dipped into their own coffers, coughing up $85.6 million from organizational reserves. Now, when you talk about nonprofits, you know, you got to remember, you've got grassroots organizations that run out here and make themselves a nonprofit. You know, you've got your schools, your higher learning institutions, some of your private schools, because you do have for-profit and not-for-profit, your quote-unquote your HBCUs that received plenty of money under President Trump that better watch out because it's disappearing.
Let's call it what it is. They received about, when you break it down, it was like $720,000 per school. It's not, I mean, better than what they got in the past, and that was set for the next 10 years.
Right. So just think about these. Some of these schools, $100,000 is like $100 million. Especially some of the rural non-HBCUs that are trying to stay afloat.
Or the ones that are state schools, like in Elizabeth City. And it's Elizabeth City, and there's another one in Tennessee. And that one actually has more white people going there now than black people.
Well, this is all a result of politics and the demolition crats. And the repo Republicans, because even when Dell State in Dover, Delaware, which used to be known as the College for Colored People, check my facts if you don't know, when the folks, politicians of a different hue, students started going there, they brought in a gentleman from Ivy League school as president, and he revamped Delaware State. The folks that, if anybody remembers, Delaware State, Cheney State, a lot of them in this region were called the party schools. But now there's an affordable education being done at Delaware State. Delaware State, formerly known as Delaware State College for Colored People, is now Delaware State University. People talk about, I don't know why we got onto this, but people talk about the great Howard University. Howard University almost shuttered their doors. People don't want to talk about that. Lincoln University was once known as the Ivy League of black universities. And Lincoln University is right here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, I thought that was Hampton.
Nah, it was Lincoln. The Princeton of Pennsylvania.
That's another subject.
But see, people are so stuck. And this goes back to what your comment is about first. Whether Cheney University or Lincoln University was the first, they're so stuck on the first that they forget the history.
Yeah, and they have a lot of resources, especially like Cheney has like a whole science program, a great science program that nobody knows about.
And Cheney stayed afloat, and I'm going to give him his props. Cheney stayed afloat because that was due to, and we're talking about, you talk about infrastructure and money ascertained by then Congressman Joe Sestak. That's fact, not fiction. You know, we have congressmen here in Philadelphia that I don't even think know how to get around in West Philly, but yet still they represent West Philadelphia.
Yeah, but that's just kind of, we're kind of saturated. I think, what, Philly, we have, let's break this to a quick breakdown. So I know Philly, I mean, obviously it's two U.S. senators, but we have three Congress people, 26 or 27 state reps. We have seven state senators and 17 people in city council.
Yeah. But
that's a lot of money.
But again, we have all of this is going to change because of redistricting. And it's not just happening in the in Pennsylvania.
Don't forget the money man gone. We ain't going to all that.
Well, you got a lot of folks running around. You know, I mean, if I was the person, if I was going to say this, you have two. If they declare that they're going to run for mayor, they don't need money from the outside sources. They got enough of their own. And I'm not saying their names right now. But you know what? What I really like to look at, though, Pat, and, you know, we did not get this information. But, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to Thera Martin and Scoop for attending this meeting. As far as Philly goes and the redistricting and how the redrawing of some of the city council districts may take place in 2022, especially in the 4th and 3rd district.
So what he's talking about, folks, is even though we have 17 council members, we have 10 districts.
Mm-hmm.
And each district consists of 125,000 constituents. But on any given election day, no more than about 26 or 27,000 actually come out to vote. That's a problem.
Well, our city council here in Philadelphia has to have a new redistricting map done by February 12th of 2022. That's by law.
They need to file for an extension now.
The bottom line is that it come February 12th, 2022. Philadelphia City Council members by law are supposed, keyword supposed, to make a decision about how the council districts will be redrawn. Thus far, this is what we know. In the first council district, the population is 171,941. It said that they must lose some of their divisions. In the 4th Council Mag District, the population is 147,000, which is Curtis Jones. And it said that in the 4th, they must gain some divisions. Where are they going to come from?
I hope it wasn't no constituents that called somebody office and got turned away. And I'm not saying their office does
in
that.
In the 5th Council District, the population is 171, and it's been said that they must lose some division. And that is Council President Darrell Clark. The 8th District has a population of 150,000, and it's been said that the 8th District must gain some divisions. So they've got to sit down here and go back and forward and figure out who's going to gain what. And when?
Instead of cutting an even match.
You know, but I'm going to say this now to those that we missed another one, but the Allegheny West Hunting Park, Nicetown, Tioga area for Council District 4, 5, 7, and 8 had a virtual meeting this past Wednesday at 6 o'clock. The next one will be Kensington, Port Richmond area for Council 1, 6, and 7. Their virtual meeting will be Tuesday, December 7th. Southwest Philadelphia for the 2nd and 3rd Council District will virtually be held, which is interesting, Saturday, December 11th at 11:30. Everybody else is on Tuesdays or on night. 2nd and 3rd, which is Councilman Kenyatta Johnson is the 2nd, and the 3rd is Jamie Gauthier.
Hmm. Get my popcorn.
She'll be supposed to be honored, being honored somewhere on that day too.
I don't care about none of that. That means absolutely nothing to me.
But I'm just saying, you know, this is real. These are things that are happening. So currently you may live in the 3rd Council Mag District, but after March of 20, you might suddenly live in the 4th District. So which means that if you're in the north side of 52nd Street, you may now be lost. You may not be represented by Councilmember Gauthier. You may be represented by Councilmember Curtis Jones.
I mean, depending on how you look on it, it could be a win. It could be a loss. Who knows?
Well, you know.
But we're going to find out.
We're going to get our popcorn, and we're going to start having popcorn sessions, because, you know, the deals of the nonprofits are going to be cut, trying to be cut real quick. You know that people are jockeying for position, not only for that, but they'll be jockeying for position for state reps. They'll be jockeying for position on who will step down in city council if they decide to run for mayor, because they have to step down. They have to step down.
When these districts shift, I mean, people will get primaried already because there ain't going to be as much money available to the powerhouses anymore. But outside of that, oh, yeah, some of y'all going to get primaried. Oh, I got my popcorn.
But, you know, people aren't seeing this. And this is what's really important when we talk about, let's get away from Republican and Democrat. Let's look at reality. Let's look at how these mountains have been chipped away, how the stones have been thrown, how people have lost. And, you know, people have lost interest in government because it's not about the people. It's about a select few. So when we talk about the demolition crat and we talk about the repo Republican, you know, you got the independents that are sitting on the sideline that may actually one day be able to vote in a primary, because now there's buzz, and maybe we'll get that broke ward system fixed as well.
That ain't gonna happen.
I said the key word was maybe, you know, and it's gonna be interesting. Not only that, here in the city of Philadelphia, come January 1, we will have an open city commissioner seat.
Oh, yeah.
Because the lone minority person is Al Schmidt, will be taking over the Committee of 70, which is a watchdog organization of elections, et cetera, et cetera. But he has already met with the mayor, Jim Kenney, to discuss who his replacement will be. It can't be a Democrat because it's got to be 2-1. But it doesn't mean it has to be a Republican. It could be an independent.
Yeah.
See, so everybody is jockeying for this position. Remember, it does not have to be a Republican. It could be one of those other offshoot parties. It could be Green Party. I'm not saying it is. It could be Working Families. It could be any number of other parties. Doesn't have to be, because it's minority.
Can it be a basement party?
As long as the lights are on.
All right.
but these are the real realities of what's taking place around this country and around the city of Philadelphia. And we have to get rid of the smokescreen, get rid of the fluff. And you've got to look at what's really going to go down, because come President's Day, which is interesting. February 18th is President's Day. So it's going to be open through President's Day. But we, you know, just a key piece of this, with less than 36 hours before funding was to set to lapse, lawmakers raced to unite behind a deal that would keep the government open through February 18th and provide, now listen to this, $7 billion for the care and resettlement of Afghan refugees. The House voted 221 to 212 to approve the measure, with just one Republican, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, joining the Democrats. The Senate then cleared the bill 69 to 28, sending it to the president's desk for his signature. 19 Republicans joined all 50 Democrats in supporting the measure. The action came after senators voted down an amendment to bar funding to carry out Mr. Biden's vaccine mandates for tens to millions of American workers, including many in the private sector. Think about it. We can find $7 billion, and I'm not against the Afghans, but we can't find nothing. Can't find the money to help the people that are homeless or have problems.
Or cut back on the defense budget, which is not necessary.
But these are the people that we are leading, and we will have folks jumping around in state, local, federal agencies. What a great deal we made. What a great deal we made. Let's look and see what how great the deal is come February 18th. Well, Brett's throwing us out today, so our listener and our followers, to see more of our show on social media, you can go to our Facebook page. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. You can find and listen to our podcast on SoundCloud and WWDB's website. Please look out for support us and our partners as we serve the communities in and surrounding Greater Philadelphia and Norristown areas, bringing information and much needed resources. We are always committed to projects that bring the type of support. Thank you to our engineer today, Mr. Brett. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor Radio Show every week on Friday, 8:50 a.m. out of Valley Kenwood. See you next week.
Yeah.